Federal chief financial officers are fighting an epic battle over ceding budgetary turf to chief information officers. The Federal Information Technology Reform Act, or FITARA, is now law. It gives CIOs control over agency IT budgets. The Office of Management and Budget is working with agencies to implement FITARA, and that's sparked the reaction from the CFOs. In his biweekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about this long, simmering turf battle. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
And so this simmering goes back to the previous big reform law in 95 and 96, the Clinger-Cohen Act. So why are CFOs so upset now about FITARA?
Well, it seems that after 20 years of almost 20 years of Clinger-Cohen, CFOs still can't get past the fact that, you know, CIOs need to have some kind of budget authority. And I think that was the whole issue with Clinger-Cohen back then, is that they didn't want to give it up. Here we are 20 years later. Technology is even more integral to everything the government does. You know, you can't do anything without technology. Yet when the CIO wants that, if you will, quote unquote, bigger seat at the table, it seems the CFOs are the ones that are standing in the way. And this was a fascinating thing that's come up now. As OMB is developing this FITARA implementation guidance, and there is draft guidance that's being developed, we know that, we've reported on that before, Tom. What I'm hearing from sources who are close to the situation, people who are been talking to OMB, involved in the discussions, helping shape it, is that once again the CFOs are starting to stand up and say, whoa. It's okay for them to have a seat at the table, just not the bigger seat. We still want that bigger seat. And I'll be honest, Tom, after 20 years, I thought that turf battle would have been over, given when you see projects like healthcare.gov, when you see projects like, you know, the FBI's virtual case file, when you see projects like DHS, you know, their Emerge financial management system, all the littered, you know, projects around the federal community that have failed, partly because CIOs have not had a big enough seat at the table.
Boy, that's really a long time to hold a grudge for 20 years. And so it seems like, from what you've written, it looks like what the CFOs object to is the CIOs having direct access to Congress during the formulation of the subsequent year's budget.
Well, I did talk to one former federal CFO, and they did say that was probably part of the issue. They made this interesting point, and let me see if I can explain their point. You have the secretary, the deputy secretary, and the CFO. All three of those in that line of succession, if you will, go through a congressional, Senate-confirmed position. The CIO tends not to go through a Senate-confirmed position. Now, there are some, like VA is one example that does, and there's an EPA is another example, but those are few and far between. Most are just appointed as career professionals, or now under FITARA, they are going to be presidentially appointed, but not Senate confirmed. And therefore, this former federal CFO says to me, that's part of it, that they're not high in the high enough level of the internal overall agency. And that person said, listen, I'm not sure I agree with it, but that's the concern that comes up, is that there are certain things, and now you have this other person coming in, and the IT budget is growing. We know that. It's over $80 billion in 2015, and that's a big part of the budget of any agency that could be, you know, quote-unquote, outside the CFO control. Now, again, this person said that's the reaction they've heard, they've talked to people about. That's not necessarily what they believe. And when you talk to former federal IT officials who had to work with their CFO, they say that's just hogwash, that any good CFO needs a good CIO, and any good CIO needs a good CFO. It has to be a collaborative partnership, because that's how you get things done. And if you're always at each other or don't trust each other, then it doesn't matter where you're appointed, who confirmed you, where you sit, how much authority you have, it's not going to work. And I think one good example that we've seen over the years, Tom, is that the Commerce Department, between Scott Quell and Simone Zickman, both who have left Commerce, but they had a real partnership, and that's why Commerce was able to do certain things over the years, you know, back in the early 2010, 2011, 2012 timeframe.
So this pushback by the CFOs, Jason, do you think it will delay the implementation of the coming out with of the guidance from OMB for the FITARA implementation?
You know, from what I'm hearing, I think what CFOs are trying to do is trying to just state their opinion and influence the implementation guidance that's coming from OMB. I don't think it's going to delay it, unless if you start getting some of the bigger agency CFOs, you know, whether it's a DOD or a DHS or someone like that, really stepping up and causing a big hubbub, which then, you know, kind of goes up the chain back to OMB Director Donovan, and he somehow puts a hold on it, or the President's Management Council, the PMC, somehow gets involved in terms of putting a hold on it. I don't really see that happening. I mean, let's be honest, Tom, FITARA passed Congress. It was signed by the president. It's the law. It's got to be implemented. And there's a lot of people on Capitol Hill who continue to watch this implementation. You know, I think none more so than Jerry Connolly, one of the bill's authors, the Virginia congressman.
So if a CFO goes to, say, Jerry Connolly and says, wait a minute here, Jerry's likely to say, no, that's what I wanted.
Exactly. I think you know, Congress, generally speaking, and just to speak of Jerry Connolly more specifically, I have not talked to his crew about the CFO issue, but I know that they are very strong supporters of the CIO authority. You saw the early bills that came from the House was much, much more specific for CIOs than the Senate bill and the bill that eventually got passed. So they actually wanted to give CIOs more authority, and it got it got pulled back a little bit over the negotiations with the Senate and the White House.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Also in your reporter's notebook just now posted at federalnewsradio.com, you write about shared services, and it looks like the Health and Human Services Department is pulling back from plans for shared services. We've been talking a lot about the whole concept a lot in the last couple of weeks, shared services.
Right. This was a fascinating discussion at the Partnership for Public Service on Friday. Ned Holland, who is the Assistant Secretary for Administration at HHS, basically came out and said, listen, we tried to move our HR systems to the National Finance Center run by the Agriculture Department. And he said, listen, it's just not working, and it's not going to be successful. So we put a stop on the project. We halted it. We're taking a 30-day look, and then he goes, it may end up being a 60-day or a 90-day look, and we're going to decide how to move forward. And what's fascinating about this was under HR, which has been very dormant. People have not talked about the human resources and lines of business. And you know, beyond payroll, very few agencies have moved to a centralized human resources system within one of the four shared service providers. Most of our discussion is around financial management shared services. But at the same time, if you see failures, Tom, agencies will go, whoa, maybe this concept doesn't work and we need to pull back. And that's why I also write at the same time about HUD and their move to Treasury's financial management shared services. Both these things happening now are really, I think a lot of people are watching what's going on with shared services and whether, yes, could this concept again take off, or will the same thing happen as in the mid-2000s? It kind of fizzled out because people didn't trust it.
And you write, too, that they point out at HHS they had to make 3,000 changes to a commercial system, which means it's really no longer anything like the system that came out of the box off the shelf.
Right. And I think that was the death knell to the program. Once Ned Holland and the CIO, Frank Bateman, and the others looked into it and said, what are we doing here? This just is not working. And, in fact, that's who made the pulled the plug on this program for now, you know, put the halt on it, was Ned Holland, was Frank Bateman, was the Chico as well of the agency. And I think what's interesting about this is the whole point of shared services is that 80-20 rule. 80% of what everyone does is basically the same. It's that other 20% that you need to decide, does it need to be customized or do you need to change your processes? And I think Treasury and OMB would tell you 9 times out of 10, you need to change your processes. We shouldn't have to change the software. Now, there are some instances where maybe a software update or a tweak is important, but most of the time the agency needs to change its processes. And I think Ned Holland was telling me that basically HHS just was not doing that. And that's how they ended up with 3,000 changes to this PeopleSoft HR system.
Yeah, well, that's a recipe for disaster, we know for sure. Now, also, I wanted to ask you about the people on the move. A lot of motion has happened in the last week.
It wasn't a crazy week last week. I could not believe how much changes we're seeing all of a sudden in the federal IT community. I think the big news was the GSA CIO, Sunny Hashmi, deciding to leave government and leave the CIO's role after about a year. That was not news. I mean, that was news last week. But for me, what we found out from my notebook, Tom, was where he's going. And this is fascinating. So Sunny Hashmi got a job with the company called Box, B-O-X.
Oh, yes. That's the new Dropbox.
That's the new drop. Oh, I don't know if they would call themselves the new Dropbox.
No, but it's a similar type of a commercial-grade
exactly.
Online cloud
secure,
storage.
Secure data file sharing. And my sources have told me that Box was very was recruiting heavily within the federal government, trying to find that right person, and maybe even more than just one person, to be really what I'll call a federal strategist, someone to really look at the federal market and how can Box and their secure data file sharing capabilities really fit in there. And what's interesting is I just did an interview with a CIO just recently, and they brought up Box and said, well, you know, places like, you know, companies like Box and blah, blah, and they went on and on and on about it. Not just Box, but that whole concept.
No, it's very hot now, Box.
Yeah. And I think that's why Sonny Hashmi is probably moving on. He sees an opportunity to help take that company into the federal government and really make a dent.
So they put Prince Albert in a can and they put Sonny Hashmi in a box.
In a box.
All right. And but that's not the only one.
That is not the only one. So the other couple changes that I'll mention is someone coming into government, and that's Jonathan Crayden. If you may recognize the name, you may not. He's been a staff member on the Senate Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee for the last about 8 years, and he was very important in writing, for instance, like the FATARA legislation. He was the key staff member there. He was the key staff member on a number of acquisition bills that came from Senator Carper when he was chairman of the committee over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. He also was the key staff member on a lot of the IT hearings, a lot of the management hearings, and he's moving to the GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy. And Tom, let me just point this out. This is something we'll probably work on later in the year, but OGP, look out for them in a good way. There's a resurgence happening with OGP. They're trying to get back into be a bigger player around identity management. Watch the hires that are coming at OGP, and I think, you know, when you and I first started covering this, or at least when I did, back in the 2000s, OGP was the right arm of OMB
yes,
and
eGov. Indeed.
I think you're going to see that starting to pop up again in certain pockets.
All right. And then very quickly also, there's a new chief technology officer at Commerce Department. This is from Penny Pritzker's blog.
Chief data officer.
Chief, what did I say? Chief.
You said technology.
Chief data, you're correct, yes. Chief data officer, Kalin, Ian Kalin, is coming back to government. I guess he was one of those presidential innovation fellows a few years ago and went to Socrata. Now he's coming back as the chief data officer at Commerce. So, yeah, a lot going on between the Valley and the Swamp Hollow.
That's the other thing. CDOs, the rise of the CDOs, it's coming, Tom. I'm calling it now.
All right. You heard it here, third or fourth or 70th.
Fifth or sixth. Exactly.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that report.
Always a pleasure.